I feel like there's something. Bring it up, bring it up, bring it up. We'll figure it out in the 4 o'clock hour. Right now, since it's Thursday and since it's crunch time, what do you say we wrap up with this?
You'll have to excuse my friend. He's a little slow.
Luckily, I have prepared for such an event. The lightning round!
It's the Thursday lightning round. I did the math and realized February's winding down, which means March Madness is coming round. In 8 more days, the lightning round. Wow.
Very good again. Back-to-back weeks, a strong A-plus showing out of
Occasionally
the lightning.
Occasionally I cheat and kind of get it. Not that one. That okay. Came right off the top of my head. That's good stuff.
Very impressive. Don't tell me you cheat if you do cheat, though.
Yeah, but you know me. If, like, I get sometimes, like, a good trivia question or something will come up and somebody will say, wow, how'd you know that? And if it's like I heard it on ESPN 2 nights ago, I have to confess, I can't take false credit. I just can't live like that.
Fine. Fair enough. 30 seconds in, it was all over. Zion Williamson tried to plant his foot onto the ground and then suddenly his foot burst out of his shoe like the baby alien in the Aliens movies bursts out of people's chest. It not only knocked out Zion from the game, but Coach K said that he is genuinely worried about Zion's health going forward. Hot takes flooded Twitter about why Williamson should have never played college basketball for free. Injuries were going to ruin his draft stock. What if he's not the same after this? He should have already been sitting out the rest of the season. Money is more important than basketball. I'd also like to note, no one was saying Zion should sit out when he was doing 360 dunks in the middle of the games. They have hot take hindsight. Now people are calling on RJ Barrett, Cam Reddish, and all of the other NBA-ready Blue Devils and college players to sit out so that they too don't fall victim to an injury that will hurt their draft stock. Injuries have happened before in college basketball. They will have taken out marquee lottery pick type players, and they're not going to stop. They will happen again. It is a major bummer that this happened to Zion, but is this injury enough to get more kids to sit out the rest of college season after January, maybe go sign for G League teams or any other option? The Zion Williamson injury will have a big, little, or no impact on players choosing to sit out of college basketball.
I'm going to say, because I think it's less than little, so I'm going to go with none.
A schmedium impact.
A Scherzy.
On the court for Duke, this injury is going to have a big impact. RJ Barrett and Cam Reddish held their own. They scored 33 and 27 respectively, but outside of that, no Duke player scored more than 6. Duke already fell from 1 to 3 in the net rankings, while UNC didn't move at all after a 16-point win on the road, so the net rankings are incredibly flawed. As of now, the Zion injury news doesn't look too good. They have another top 25 matchup against Virginia Tech on the road, and then a rematch on the last game of the year against UNC. So while right now the net has Duke in line for the number one seed, the committee is going to have another pre-release of their top 16 teams this weekend. And after one game without Zion, Duke looks less like Duke and more like puke. What percent chance do you give Duke to be in a number one seed?
Ooh. Could we go back to yesterday and I could say pending?
No,
because I really would like to find out the severity of his injury.
It's a grade one sprain. He's day to day.
All right.
That's all we got.
So what chance do I give them? I still give them a 50% chance because if they win and he misses a game or two, they come back. I do think the selection committee does a good job of evaluating the team rather than only the record, especially at the higher level. I give him a 50-50 shot.
The end of the regular season is upon us, and while there are no undefeated teams left in D1, there are 5 teams that are undefeated at home, so what percent chance do you give the following teams of remaining undefeated at home? Starting with number 2, Gonzaga, already 16-0 at home. They have games...
100, don't even waste your time. Nobody's beaten them at that place.
Number 5, Tennessee, 15-0 at home. They have a matchup against number 4, Kentucky, who the Volunteers were just blown out by in Mississippi State.
I give them a 25% chance. They're not beating Kentucky.
Number 7, Michigan, also 16-0 at home. They have a rivalry game against number 10, Michigan State, and Nebraska. Michigan has played neither of those teams.
Nebraska is not going into Chrysler and beating them. Michigan State's been all over the place. I'm going to give them, well, in essence, you've given me it's either 100% or 50%, 100%, they're not losing to Michigan State either. Wow.
Number 9, Houston out of the AAC, 17-0 at home, 3 games left, South Florida, Central Florida, and SMU. Houston's already 3-0 against those teams.
So, and they get Central Florida at home?
These are all home games.
Oh, because UCF is the second best team, I believe, in the American Athletic. Cincinnati is up there. Wow, you know what? I'm going 100. They're running the table at home.
Goodness. And last one, number 12, Kansas, 15-0 at home. Take on number 23, Kansas State, who the Jayhawks lost to back on the 5th of February, ending the season against Baylor. Kansas also looking to get a piece of that Big 12 title. They are half a game back of first in the Big 12.
So K-State is 6-4 on the road. Kansas is unbeaten at home. You know, the last 2 years, it was like, there's no way that they could keep this going. It can't be 13 years. It can't be 14 years. And they always wind up with a share. So even though I like this K-State team, I like Bruce Weber, I like their experience, they have shown some vulnerabilities the last couple weeks. But I'm going to give them a 50-50 shot.
All right. NFL free agency is just a couple weeks away, and I'm sure that the creators of Spotrac.com are loving the clicks that they're getting from diehard fans trying to figure out the math cap that needs to be done to land Mr. Big Chest, Odell Beckham, and Le'Veon Bell. The Colts are galloping away with the leading cap space, over $107 million available, the Jets second at $99 million, the Browns and Bills at $80 million, the Texans at $78 million, and the Raiders at $71 million. Le'Veon Bell, without a doubt, the best free agent available. All of those teams could use a number one back. The Colts survived last year with Marlon Mack. The O-line's been getting better. They could use a dynamic runner like Bell. The Jets can offer a lot of money and all the off-field perks that come with playing in New York. The Bills' leading rusher last year was Josh Allen. That pretty much says everything. And the Raiders, while they couldn't pay Khalil Mack, they could pay Le'Veon Bell, as they're going to need a big name before their move to Vegas. All are candidates for Bell to be the bell cow for these teams. Where will Le'Veon sign? Thank you. The Colts, the Jets, the Bills, or the Raiders?
I don't think the Colts are going to make – I think they're heading in such a good direction. They don't want to run into anything that could hamstring them salary cap-wise. I actually think there's a good core there in New York. And with basically – it's about beating New England. I mean, they could beat the other two crap franchises. I would actually make the New York Football Jets the favorite for the Le'Veon Bell stakes.